Frank, could you tell us a little bit about the logic that led to the Sutoff reentry modifications?
Well, the primary concern of the Apollo 7 flight, of course, was their head colds, and all of us are very interested in flying without suits. As a matter of fact, this was one of the points of interest on our 7 flight when we had some discussions with the ground people on taking off our suits. And it becomes a problem either way you want to look at it. You can function much better without the suits on. On the other hand, you lose some degree of redundancy in the event of a leak or a pressure hull problem. So we're cleared to enter with or without suits on. As I understand it, we do have the capability. We're carrying now stirrups so that our feet will be held in place, and we will be able to enter with or without suits. Well, the preference, of course, is without suits. So you do have a problem, though, of determining where you can store them if you don't wear them, so they don't get in the couch stroke envelope. And I don't think anybody that's ever flown likes a pressure suit. Anybody that's ever worn one likes one, except perhaps the people that make them.
Yes, sir.
Last question, Frank Bormann. Now, of course, so far the quick advancement of the space technology has been partly due to this competition between America and Russia. There's no doubt about it. However, if we, for a last time, consider this question of humanity, what would you personally think? Now you, of course, wear the American flag, and the Russians have always placed their emblems on the moon. Now, would you personally be ready to say, all right, we could as well do it with, say, the flag of the United Nations?
Well, I don't know if you're aware, but on our Gemini 7 flight, we carried the flags of all the United Nations with us. And we certainly, as I said before, hope that this endeavor we're in leads eventually to some sort of an understanding. But quite frankly, right now, I don't see anything particularly wrong with being proud of the flag or being competitive in this friendly way that advances that. I hope we some way learn to control the competitiveness in the military standpoint. But I'm a great free enterpriser, and I think that the competition that's not only national but individual is of utmost importance to this program.
We should be some 15 seconds away. No picture yet, but we're waiting with some anticipation. The earlier glimpse we had indicated a very beautiful view of the Earth, one that Jim Lovell had described a few minutes earlier as he looked out Bill Anders' window. No picture yet, but we're standing by watching. Okay, we will switch over for any conversation that comes up with the crew. And standing by at this time. A bit overdue at this time on our TV transmission, but we have not placed a call yet to the spacecraft. Our capsule communicator, Jerry Carr, down at his console, just as we're doing, viewing the screen. Picture coming through.
Roger, the picture is on the lower right hand of our screen. Camera should go down away from the terminator and to the right. Still down in about the same place, a little worse. Now it's coming in.
Are you getting it now, Jerry?
Roger, we've got most of it. Keep moving off to the right. Good, you have it centered right now.
Well, the Earth looks a little bigger to us today. Not much, but it's somewhat bigger. I'm sitting over in the right-hand seat now. Bill's got the TV camera. Frank's helping him out, aiming it correctly to hit the Earth. I hope we have a good picture. Can you see the clouds?
Affirmative, we sure can. Move it up toward the terminator. Oh, correction, away from the terminator, just a shade.
At the tip of South America, there's a great swirl down there. It looks like a great storm. Wonder if you can see it.
Roger, we see a large swirl just to south of the Terminator.
Roger, and then up to the left-hand side or towards the north, we can see the light waters around the West Indies, and we can actually see Florida. I'm looking through Bill's binocular, and you can see the various land masses, South America, the central part, and south part of the United States.
Roger, move a little bit away from the Terminator now. Left with the camera and a little further away from the Terminator.
Say again, Jerry.
Okay, you're moving it toward the center of the screen now, and the Earth is off on the left side of our screen. Real fine, that's good. Hold it right there. Roger, Bill. We'll sure be glad to get you back, too.
This is Frank Borman. We've enjoyed the television shows, and we invite you to stay tuned in the future, because there'll be flights in rendezvous in Earth orbit, and then, of course, there'll be television from the lunar surface itself in the not-too-far distant future. So until then, Apollo
8
crew signing off, and we'll see you back on that good Earth very soon.
Roger, Frank, adios.
So, that our last television transmission before the Apollo 8 crew returns to Earth at 128 hours, 5 minutes at the present time. And right now we show an altitude above Earth of 97,073 nautical miles. A velocity as the spacecraft Apollo 8 now on its return trip, a velocity of 6,084 feet per second. So at 128 hours, 6 minutes into the flight of Apollo 8, this is Apollo Control Houston.
Feeling better, as you probably ascertained from the air-to-ground voice that you've been listening to. They have taken turns sleeping. We're coming back. We're committed to a Pacific landing. We decided not to do the mid-course six maneuver. We will do the mid-course seven, even if it's very small. We're already within the corridor, and what this essentially means is that we even without any more mid-course corrections at all, we have satisfactory entry conditions for our spacecraft. And we plan to land it close to 147 hours on 165 west, about 7.5 north, which is essentially the planned end of mission area. The weather's good there. We're all set up now to finish off our nav sightings in the next few hours or several hours here. We did go over the items that have to be covered during the entry with the crew. We went over them with the team, of course, first for some couple of hours, I guess, during this period, quiet time. We did a check of the EMS system, the entry monitoring system. All of that turned out very well. You probably heard Frank say that he wasn't worried about the system even before we did the test, but we went ahead and did them anyway, and we don't plan to do any more there. Unless there's some something real unusual that comes up, or some of the systems people, perhaps today and looking back at today, to have any new ideas. But essentially, they were happy, at least when I left. And they have some questions, of course, but they're the kind of things that you cover in the debriefing. And I guess that probably covers all the major items. The crew is feeling better, as you probably ascertained from the air-to-ground voice that you've been listening to. They have taken turns sleeping. Lovell went to bed, has been asleep for quite a while now. I didn't copy down the exact times, but 5 or 6 hours, I guess. Borman was up for a while earlier in the night down here anyway, and then he went to sleep. Anders had been asleep for a while, and he's awake now, and he's actually at the controls. And that's about all I can say. We're coming back. We're committed to a Pacific landing. We decided not to do the mid-course six maneuver. We will do the mid-course seven, even if it's very small. We're already within the corridor, and what this essentially means is that we even without any more mid-course corrections at all, we have satisfactory entry conditions for our spacecraft, and we plan to land it close to 147 hours on 165 west, about 7.5 north, which is essentially the planned end of mission area. The weather's good there. We're all set up now to finish off our nav sightings in the next few hours or several hours here. We did go over the items that have to be covered during the entry with the crew. We went over them with the team, of course, first for some couple of hours, I guess, during this period of quiet time. And then we discussed some of these things with Frank. You probably heard that on the underground loop. No real major changes there. We remind him of a few things. Trying to, as I've indicated to you before, trying to get things essentially covered and put to bed as early as we can, so that we don't have a lot of things that come up on us in the last few hours of the flight. We did a check of the EMS system, the entry monitoring system. All of that turned out very well. You probably heard Frank say that he wasn't worried about the system even before we did the test, but we went ahead and did them anyway, and we don't plan to do any more there unless there's something real unusual that comes up, or some of the systems people, perhaps today and looking back at today, to have any new ideas. But essentially, they were happy, at least when I left. And they have some questions, of course, but they're the kind of things that you cover in the debriefing. And I guess that probably covers all the major items.
What we're thinking about right now, Jerry, is hitting that wedge angle about 2 degrees there, limit, when we come back. The Earth looks pretty small right from here.
Roger.
On the Earth here from so far out in space, I think I must have the feeling that the travelers in the old sailing ships used to have. You're going on a very long voyage away from home, and now we're headed back, and I have that feeling of being proud of the trip, but still happy to be going back home and back to our home port, and that's what you're seeing right here.
Apollo 8, Houston.
Go ahead.
I hate to tell you this, Frank, because Jim probably won't even be able to wear his comm carrier anymore, but that last set of marks puts your state vector right on top of the misfin state vector.
Come on, that Jerry. Come on, you promised.
I get to that bottle of brandy when I get home, Jerry. Maybe we get him to go to Program 1 again today, too.
Roger, that sounds good.
Hey, Jerry, we were going over the checklist on entry here, you know.
Roger, Frank.
I've got a question. Is John Harpholder up?
Roger, he's listening.
John, I can't remember. Is the lift vector up, head down, or...
Jerry, I'm beginning to worry up here.
Roger, it depends on which way your nose is pointing.
Touché. All right, you might note for the people at MIT that the next series of ours will be shot by the master navigator with a space helmet on and long air relief eyepieces.
Roger, that ought to cut his speed down a little bit.
Gary, what I'm kind of curious in is the fuel usage now with the P-23 and what we were doing, but we have a lot more fuel.
Jim, we'll take a look at that fuel usage bit. Right now, the trend looks like it's getting better, as we would expect with the lighter weights. We'll try to get a little more definitive for you here.
We really shouldn't complain about the fuel usage on that SPS engine, though, because we're sure getting a lot of miles per gallon.
Roger, Frank. Frank, we'll enter you in the Shell road test on that.
At the tip of South America, there's a great swirl cloud down there. It looks like a great storm. I wonder if you can see it. Then up to the left-hand side, or towards the north, we can see the light waters around the West Indies, and we can actually see Florida. I'm looking through Bill's binocular, and you can see the various land masses in South America, the central part, and southern part of the United States. The Earth looks pretty small right from here.
Down on the Earth here from so far out in space, I think I must have the feeling that the travelers in the old sailing ships used to have. You're going on a very long voyage away from home, and now we're headed back, and I have that feeling of being proud of the trip, but still happy to be going back home and back to our home port, and that's what you're seeing right here. This is Frank Borman. We've enjoyed the television shows, and we invite you to stay tuned in the future, because there'll be flights and rendezvous in Earth orbit, and then, of course, there'll be television from the lunar surface itself in the not-too-far distant future. So until then, I guess this is the Apollo 8 crew signing off, and we'll see you back on that good Earth very soon.
We have a well-rested Apollo 8 crew. From the status report indicated that each crew member had about 7 hours sleep.
That other aviator that's going around the world, Max Conrad, with his light plane, he spent Christmas Day in the Antarctic at Punta Arenas in Chile. He's waiting for good weather so he can continue his flight down to the South Pole. He hopes to get around the world going around both poles, and he's going to fly from Palmer to Bird, from Bird to the South Pole, and then return home to the United States by way of New Zealand, Australia, and Hawaii.
Brother, you better take some no-dos with him.
I try to talk Frank into the same trip.
You can give him a weather report from Apollo 8. The South Pole is really clobbered, or at least it was the other day.
Roger. I don't imagine there's many alternates down there.
No, I don't think so. We have some pretty clear weather up here.
No fog, huh?
Not outside.
Actually, it's snowing outside right now with that wastewater dump that Bill just did.
You'll be able to see very shortly the spacecraft do a long loop-the-loop kind of maneuver against a flat map, such as we're viewing. The maneuver will be quite similar to that we saw the other day, after the TLI burn, when we did a big loop before we started tracing a steady flight path away from the Earth. And of course, we're going to see this morning the mirror image of that maneuver. Only in this case, it'll be performed almost directly over India. The spacecraft is now looking down on the southern tip of India, directly over Ceylon, and it will, for Earth mapping purposes, seem to proceed in a northwesterly direction as it prepares to make its entry, as it lines up for its entry path back to the Earth into the Pacific Ocean. We're 25,309 miles away from the spacecraft, and it's moving at 12,328 feet per second.
I think I must have the feeling that the travelers in the old sailing ships used to have. You're going on a very long voyage away from home, and now we're headed back. And I have that feeling of being proud of the trip, but still happy to be going back home and back to our home port. And that's what you're seeing right here.